Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
If they rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, the highlight of Living Way should not be what it is in the secular world or the nominal church. That's the reason why we give altar calls. That's the reason why this church is drastically different. My friends that I have in the business world that have a great relationship with me but say politely, Steve, I'd like to come to your church because of you, but it's just too different. That does not insult me. That is a high compliment. I want to be different from churches that don't have a baptistry. I want to be different from churches that do not preach truth. I want to be different from churches that are not anointed. I want to be different from a church that is not the gate of heaven. I want to be different from a church where people don't get radically saved, where people do not come to Christ, where people do not get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want a distinction from the denominational churches because they are not the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven is a Book of Acts church that teaches exactly what Christ told us to teach and exactly what the apostles practiced in the Book of Acts, and we are to be that church. And so when you become anointed, suddenly these things take on a significance. It's not the house of Luz anymore. It's not a place of insignificance. The house of God becomes the very oasis of your life. It becomes the sun of your galaxy. The house of God is somewhere where you can't stay away from. I was praising God this week. And you know what I was praising God for? I was praising God for my family and their involvement in the church. Not their relationship with me, but their involvement in the church. To have a wife that is so totally dedicated. I've got pastor friends and their wives live to get away. They got to go to Rodeo Drive. I don't know how many times back he's been to Rodeo Drive. I've been there a few times. It's fun to walk down there, but it's too expensive to shop there, I can tell you that. But they just live to get away. But Becky lives to stay here. She lives for the house of God. She lives for the things of God. But not just Becky. My sons are the same way. And Brandon assuming the role as the pastor of this church. And now to have two grandchildren. They're unique. They're weird. Because all they talk about, Becky said she went with them somewhere the other day. And she said, I kept talking about other things. But they kept bringing the conversation back to church. That's teenagers. So I thank God that they place significance on the house of God. This is not Luz. This is Bethel, the house of God, the gate to heaven. The most important thing I do is come to church. And that's what God is saying. Do you place a significance on my house that I place on it? Because God places significance on his house. And when you walk through these doors, half the battle is won. The Lord said, you showed up. Because I mean something to you, and this place means something to you. And today we're going to join ourselves together, and we're going to work in your behalf. And God said, I'm going to fight your battles while you're here on a Wednesday night. I'm going to be on your job. And when you get there on Thursday morning, I've already gone before you, praise God. I've already talked to people and made arrangements. I've already bound spirits and loosed angels. Why? Because of the significance you place. Is it important to the unanointed? It is not important. It's not important that you go to God's house. And once you go to God's house, it's not important that you worship. And if you go to God's house, it's not important that you live righteously before God. And it's not important that you read the Word of God. And it's not important that you pray. And it's not important that you have a testimony. All these things are insignificant to the unanointed. But the unanointed, the anointed find a real priority in God's house and the things of God. So none of these things that are important to the world are vitally important to me and many people in this building. Two questions. How do I receive the anointing? And number two, two prerequisites for anointing. What is it? You know, the good news is this, that God is fair. You know what makes God fair? That he has no grandchildren. All of God's people are children. Just because you're saved, your child is not automatically saved. Just because your father was saved, you're not automatically saved. God said, I've got to have a relationship with you individually. The relationship of your family is not transferable. This membership is not transferable. You've got to get it for yourself. You've got to know Jesus Christ for yourself. The Catholic Church is filled with good deeds, and I have embraced so many things that the Catholic Church does, but one of their big errors is that the priest is now your vicar, or he can take your place. No, no, no. 2,000 years ago, that was all destroyed because Jesus Christ became the high priest. And because of that, we are now our own priest, which means that we talk to God for ourselves. You don't call me on the phone and say, Pastor Steve, I've sinned. Would you go to Mary, or would you go to Jesus, or would you go to the Father for me? No, no. You are on a first name basis with God, and that first name is Jesus. Praise God. And you have to have a relationship with you. And so God is fair for this reason, that anybody in this building can be anointed. And in the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing destroys the enemy. Life is not fair. But praise God, anointing can make it fair. Anointing can make you get what you deserve. Hallelujah. And the fairness of God is that anybody can become anointed. It doesn't matter about your mother or your father. If you were born and your mother could never tell you for sure who your father was, it does not matter. You can still become anointed. It doesn't matter about your genealogy. It doesn't matter about your race. It doesn't matter about your age. It doesn't matter your gender. You can become anointed. And if you are going to be a follower of Christ, and if you're going to be a Christian, the number one goal you should ask the Lord for is, Lord, anoint me. Because if I am anointed, it will break every yoke in my life. Only anointed have that angelic the troop that follows them, not only follows them, that goes before them. When you get anointed, there's an angel before you. There's an angel on your left. There's an angel on your right. There's an angel behind you. Praise God. You are surrounded by angelic beings because you are anointed. It makes the crooked way straight. Praise God. It makes bad things good. It turns sorrow into joy. It brings beauty out of ashes. Why? Because you're anointed. People say to me, usually preachers that are envious say to me constantly, I just never saw nothing like it. Everything you touch turns to gold. Friend, it's not what I touch. It's what the anointing goes before me does. It breaks the yoke. It opens the doors. It takes care of the ambushments that the devil has for me. You know, right now, the devil has got an ambushment set for me tomorrow somewhere. And he's got one set for you. And if you're not anointed, there's a good chance it's going to hit you broadside. But praise God, if you are anointed, you will go through it. And you will not even know that the ambushment was set there. Because before you get there, the Lord will make the way plain, the crooked place straight. Praise God. He will fight your battles because you're anointed of the Lord. And so again, the question is, if that anointing is so powerful and so desirable, and it is, how can I receive the anointing? Relationship. You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ for yourself. Jesus said, they will say, I have done many wonderful works in your name. I've even cast out devils in your name. And Jesus said, I will say to them, cast them out. I never knew you. And to understand that properly, you have to look at the little word new, K-N-E-W. It's the same thing where Abraham knew Sarah, or in other words, Abraham had a relationship with Sarah. She conceived and had a child at an old age. And so what he's talking about is a supernatural relationship. And so he said, cast them out because they never had this supernatural relationship with me. I don't know them. So it's not about how high you jump, or what you say, it's do you know the Lord? Paul said, I know the Lord. And then he said, rather, I am known of the Lord. Praise God. God knows you by name. Your name is bandied about in heaven because God himself calls your name in front of angels. Your name is known in hell because the demons fear and tremble, and their track record of defeat is innumerable against you because the Lord has fought your battles. Why? Not because you're prettier, not because you're smarter, not because you're more religious, but because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it means to put on Christ. I am a new creation, a new creature, one translation said. You're a little different species than the normal human being. You're what the devil would call a creature. You are hell's worst nightmare. You are heaven's greatest trophy, praise God, because you're the anointed of the Lord. Can somebody shout amen? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So the first is relationship. There is no anointing without relationship. The second is, I would love to be anointed, someone said. It is your motive for anointing. Your motive is vitally important. If your motive for wanting to be anointed is self-aggrandizement, you will not be anointed. What does that mean? Aggrandizement, the act of making something appear greater than it actually is, or something, or someone saw it as an ego-aggrandizement, or self-aggrandizement. What does that mean? It means to promote yourself. That's not why I am here, to promote myself. I am here for one purpose, and that is to promote the kingdom of God, that someone may hear me and be saved. Someone may circumvent hell and go to heaven. God does not anoint the self-promoter. He said, think not more highly of yourself than you ought. They might be, and we're just filled with it. Pulpits are filled with it. Television is filled with it. People that are self-promoters. And we that are not spiritual cannot judge, and we cannot discern the anointed from the gifted. We cannot discern the anointed from the talented. Someone has the ability to sing, we say, oh, he's so anointed. He might be totally foreign to God, but we say he's anointed because he has the gift. He can sing, or he can speak, and he can put phrases together in a magical way. We say, oh, he's so anointed. Oh, not necessarily. We need to be able to discern between talents and gifts and anointing. They're totally different things. Totally different things. You know, in the Bible, there is a very vivid story that points out what I'm talking about. It's Acts chapter 8. There was a man in the Bible known as Simon. He was known because of the power of his sorcery. He was a force to be reckoned with. He was in league with the devil. The devil gave him certain insights where he was more powerful than the normal person. But he converted to Christianity supposedly. We call him Simon the Sorcerer in the Bible. And the Bible said that when they realized that the whole city had come to Christ, but they had not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost, they called Peter down. And Peter laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. I'm quoting from the Bible. They received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name. That's what happened in Acts chapter 8 in the book of Acts. And when Simon the sorcerer saw this, he said, that's what I want. I want the anointing. And verse 18 of Acts 8 says this, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You can't buy the anointing. The anointing is a gift from God. It does not come to promote flesh. It doesn't come to give you a ministry. It doesn't come to put you up in front of people. It doesn't come to give you clout. It comes to promote Jesus Christ and expand the kingdom of God. Jesus was not a self-promoter, amazingly. I just find this always. I've just thought about the ministry of Christ so many times. So many times he would heal somebody and say, go tell no man. He was not a self-promoter. And the Bible has this little jewel in Philippians 2:7. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Talking about Jesus, he made himself of no reputation. So how can we discern true anointing when someone sings or preaches or puts their shingle out and opens a building and declares it a church? We cannot determine by numbers, small numbers or large numbers, does not define anointing. The crowd can be ever so small and the person yet anointed. The crowd can be ever so large and the person is a self-promoter and he's not anointed. That does not necessarily justify that it's the house of God and the gate to heaven. Jesus was almost totally rejected by the religious, by the rich, and by the famous. 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called." Heaven is populated with common people. Heaven is populated with common people. The Bible said in Mark chapter 12, verse 37, I love this verse also, "David therefore himself calleth the Lord, and whence he then is his son." And then talking about Christ, it said, "And the common people heard him gladly." Jesus' audience was literally an audience of common people. The religious people ignored him, chastised him, rebuked him, attacked him, but the common people heard him gladly. His anointing was for the common people to help them. I used to give a man $4,000 every month. Every month I gave him $4,000 to start a church because he was talented and he was gifted. I just didn't know he wasn't anointed. Me and another man gave him $4,000 every month. He called me one day and he said, "My church is really growing." He said, "We broke through 100 the first time." And he said, "You know what I'm so excited about?" He said, "It's not normal people." He said, "The majority of our people are driving either Lincolns, Cadillacs, or Mercedes." That cost him $4,000 a month, one statement. It told me more than I wanted to know. He was interested in building himself a kingdom of rich people, but he had no real desire to see common people saved. The common people heard him gladly. Somebody called me. I shared this a couple of services. Somebody called me the other day, and they had somebody that was something in their city, a coach or something. They were just so excited. And I said, "We had a bunch of people saved the other day. I don't think any of them were coaches or movie stars or politicians. They had tattoos, and I don't think they probably had bank accounts, but they were saved." See, it doesn't matter about a bank account when you come to Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you do or don't have tattoos. It don't matter whether you are a coach of a winning football team in the collegiate circles or whether you are a down-and-outer living under a bridge. Jesus Christ did not die for the rich, the famous, the politician, the coach, the athlete. He died for everybody. And not one person is more important than the other. And so the anointing will be acquired when you say, "The Lord has called me to preach the gospel to whosoever will, and it's to the common people. I don't care who they are. Everybody deserves to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus' rejection of the compromised church is well chronicled in the Word of God. "And the angel of the church of Laodicea I write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, which is Christ, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thee either be cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." There are millions of people in millions of churches that are not in a real house of God, and it's not the gate of heaven. It's simply religion reinvented, but it's not what God meant. God meant for this to be a holy place filled with His Spirit, that whosoever will, let him come. Throw out the net. The man became angered because nobody showed up. He said, "Go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in." Everybody deserves to hear the gospel once until somebody's heard it twice. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so I submit to you in the remaining moments of this little message that we now examine ourselves. And the best way to do that is for the mirror of the Word of God. And it's not that large. It's really you. And you say, "Lord, am I really what the Lord called me to be? Do I love the kingdom of God? Do I love the house of God? Do I love souls? Do I love people? Do I live that people might know Jesus as I know Him? Or is this simply religious antics that I go through a time or two a week?" Ladies and gentlemen, we must be the church of God, the house of God, the gate of heaven, and we must worship. Somebody said, "Well, let me get my praise on because of what it does for me." Well, that's good, but that's not the priority of your praise. The priority of your praise is that you would create an atmosphere, that this building of mortar and brick and sheetrock would suddenly be transformed from a cathedral of religion into the house of God, that no matter who they are driving by the freeway, they would feel the Spirit of the living God go out from beneath this door, and they would feel a resting. And just a few times, maybe a dozen or 20 times, I don't know in these 45 years how many people have told me, but not nearly enough. I was driving by this church, and something got a hold of me. They've told me that, but they've only told me that 15 or 20 times. That ought to be happening 15 or 20 times a day. This place ought to be alive with the Holy Spirit. We know too much to be religious. We have been born again. We have been brought too far to be cheap saints, praise God. We are people that were made in His image, transformed by His power, washed in His blood. This demands that this not be a church building, but it be the house of God and the gate of heaven. It cannot happen until we put Christ first above all. It cannot happen until we realize that God's word is true. Not the opinions of men, not religious cliches, but God's holy word. And we will lift Him up and exalt Him in every way. We will come into this place and praise God till we can't praise no more. We will applaud till we can't applaud anymore. We will sing until our lungs are hoarse. What are you doing? I am transforming this place by the Spirit of the living God. I'm saying, God, anoint me, anoint me, anoint this house. Let it be a place where a man sitting on the back seat, enslaved by heroin, cannot stay on that back seat and get up and leave like he was a captive. But praise God, let that same Spirit that was upon the Lord when He stood up in the temple be on you and on me and on this house until, praise God, the captive is delivered, until the bruised are healed, until the blind can see, until there is a transforming experience here. Ladies and gentlemen, we do ourselves a disservice to compare ourselves to the church across town because they are so far removed from what God wants them to be. By comparison, anything's a winner. We need to go back to the Word of God and say the Bible is our parallel. The Bible is our pattern. The book of Acts is what we want to be. We shouldn't get through a service without somebody getting saved. We shouldn't get through a service without the Holy Spirit falling like rain. We shouldn't get through a service without somebody coming up and laying their drug penalty or their cigarettes or their alcohol on this altar and say, something has happened to me. What is it? Friend, you have come to the house of God. You're like Jacob running for your life, but suddenly you're in Israel. No longer are you behind. Now you're the head and not the tail. Why? You've come to the house of God. The gate of heaven, praise God, has opened up. You were on your way headlong to hell, but suddenly there's been a reverse, and now you are going to go to heaven and live there forever because you came to the right place and met the right people and enjoyed the right God. Oh, this is God's house. This is a gate of heaven. I don't care who you are. The Lord can save you. I don't care how bound you are. God can deliver you. I don't care how sick you are. God can heal you. This is God's house. And ladies and gentlemen, just as God's not through, we're not through yet. This is a good church, but it ain't all what God wants it to be yet. But we're well on our way. The preaching is going to get better. The singing will get better. The preaching will get better. Everything is going to get better. But more than that, there will be an increase of the anointing of Almighty God. That a person that comes into this building will say, wow, this is a dreadful place. This is the house of God. I knew it not. I thought it was just like the church down the road, but it's not like the church down the road, praise God. It's a holy place. It's a heavenly place. It's an angelic place. It's a miraculous place. It's a signs place. It's a word place. It's a Jesus place. Stand on your feet and give God some praise in this house right now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This world can't catch a break. Now, it's the coronavirus, from one calamity to another. That's the world we live in. Friend, if we will allow the anointing of God to come upon us, not just allow it, but require it, seek it, beseech God for it. Lord, anoint this place and anoint this people that every calamity can be turned into a miracle. Every problem can be turned into a promise. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a unique people in a unique place at a unique time. As the Bible said, we've come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. But we cannot be Laodicea. We cannot be lukewarm, Brother Percy. We got to be red hot. We've got to be on fire. Not come to church when you want to, but every time the doors are open. Not just open your Bible when somebody's reading a text, but have your own private devotion with the Lord. Not try to be God's grandkid sitting on his knee of redemption, but be a child of God that talks to him every day in your own personal prayer. Not having to call a deacon, an elder, a pastor, a bishop when somebody gets sick, but say, praise God, I'm a new creature. Let me get to them with a bottle of oil and they won't be sick long. Why? I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm anointed. Every one of you that are saved and sanctified, your number one goal is that you ought to become anointed. I want to be anointed. If I'm anointed, my sick baby, my sick grandbaby is not going to be sick long. If I'm anointed, my kids are not going to go to hell. If I'm sick, we're not going to be destitute in this household long. Because praise God, I'm anointed. I can change every situation. I can transform everything that happens in my life. I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord God Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not in any way want to chastise you because you're way ahead of the pack. But I do want to entice you. I want to entice you to tell you that there's more where that came from. I want to entice you that the best is not past, but the best is yet to come. I want to entice you that you are not just ahead of your cousin and your sin and your sister that used to live in the neighborhood where you do, and you're doing better than they are. I want to tell you that you can become an apostle, a disciple, an epistle seen and read of all men. Suddenly there is something that God is saying to you. You are not normal. You are abnormal. I will anoint you, and suddenly the door will open. Suddenly no man can prevent it. Suddenly you will have abundance. Praise God. Why? The anointing of the Lord is upon you. Oh God, let me challenge you. Let me challenge you as a gospel preacher that not only can you be saved, praise God, you can be an overcomer for yourself and all that hear you in Jesus' name. If you're in this building right now and you would say, Pastor, I love the Lord, but I'm not really able to distinguish that I'm terribly anointed. I don't really see what you're seeing happen in your life or what you're talking about, but I want that anointing. I want to be able to go into a hospital and touch somebody and then get out of the hospital bed. I want to be able to speak the word on a job to somebody that's filled with demons and suddenly they're gloriously saved. I want to be able to speak to my grandchildren and them understand the love of God in a paramount way. Oh, what is that? That's called anointing. That's called anointing. Not flesh and blood, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're only going to find that in the gate of heaven. Only in the house of God, not in a denominational church, but a real house of God. Praise God. If you're in this building today and you want more of God, if you need to get saved, if you're already saved, but you say, I need more of God. If you're already filled with the Holy Ghost, but you say, I just don't have an anointing in my life. Things I touch don't live. That's the key to anointing. Things that you touch live when you are anointed. If that applies to you, I challenge you to get out of your chair and walk down this aisle right now and say, Lord,